Welcome back to another episode of the Meta Makers Podcast. My name is Davis.
And this is Dylan.
And we're here with our guest, John Clockwood.
John, Father of Time.
John, tell us about that Father of Time nickname that you have. Where does it come from?
Wasn't easy, boys. I had to compete with a lot of other people trying to get the same name. But hard work and diligence and respect for your rivals pays off in the end.
So we're going to talk about John's experience in the music and arts realm. And we're going to talk about his relationship to us, how we met, and how his involvement with Beauty in the Backyard is helping transform this event into something truly beautiful. So tell us about your past experiences with music and arts festivals and other types of gatherings.
Whew. That is a big old question there, Davis. Shway Davis, thank you. Thank you for passing that one on to me. Well, I like small events. I like community events. I like people healing together. I like people that are involved in art. Just because they create because they're humans and not because they want to make money or are involved in fake music media. So, I live in Southwest Virginia, and I've been a part of a lot of small music festivals. I ran Progress Festival for 5 years, which is very similar to Beauty in the Backyard, maybe not as many performance artists and workshops. But it was totally DIY, and there are a few other music festivals down there. Pink Moon Festival, I don't know, Camp Barefoot, the Untitled Music Festival, Reunion Festival. So it's been awesome being a part of all these small festivals in Virginia.
Yeah, I remember the day that I met you, I was installing light bulbs in your house because your oldest brother is friends with my oldest brother. And we're literally neighbors, and I had never met you. I think both of our brothers had talked about us to each other, but just kind of nonchalantly. And so, anyway, I'm in his room. Walking up the stairs, yeah. And I see all these music festival flyers, posters, just everywhere, like literally lining the whole stairwell up, and then his room pretty much all the way around. And I get up there, I'm like, man, what are all these posters, like, what are these events? And he just was like, well, let me tell you about it. And
how did you print all these? Did you hand draw them, paint them,
there was
put them in a zoo?
A lot of DIY images. But you told me that you had been doing Progress Fest and that you were taking a break from it. And I just thought it was so synchronistic because it was, I think it was Beauty in the Backyard had happened once. And we were preparing for year two. And I think you were about to go to Greece, right?
Yeah, sure, Greece.
Tell us about that. You were in Greece for, 3 months or something?
Yeah, it was life-changing.
What made you want to go to Greece?
It's my heritage. And I've been there once before and just met amazing people that, I don't know, I just feel like I didn't meet here. They're just selfless and hospitable and... Mm. I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe, but I just fell in love with their culture and their food.
That's amazing. Ooh. That's amazing. And
we also all glorify Greek culture, like ancient Greek culture.
You mean in America, like most Americans?
Yeah, I think so. And I think most people in the world live under like the shadow of like Athens.
Yeah.
Like in Athens, they live in the shadow of like what used to be kind of and. I think a lot of us live in like a military past and I don't know. Maybe we don't know a lot about current Greek culture, but that's the one I like.
Yeah. Nice. So you said that Progress Fest was different than the event that we're doing in October. How does Progress Festival differ from Beauty in the Backyard?
It's in a different market. So I feel like people have more money north of Baltimore and DC area. I lived in the middle of nowhere. And this property also has far more resources than we had for Progress Festival. I ended up doing a lot of the tasks that would be assigned to Camp Ramblewood, for instance, at Progress Fest. So I would say more resources around here. You guys also have a stronger movement. It's not just one or two people running it. It's like 50 or more, like, prominent people that have roles and tasks, and the communication's there, and people are definitely working together. So, yeah, it's different in a few ways. The budget certainly is bigger. We did all the food in-house. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, what were some of your troubles running Progress Fest? It's not running today, so, you know, we love to, like, learn from, you know, things that may not have gone as well. And you know, if you'd care to share that with our audience, then they'd be curious because they love going to events. And, you know, I've heard great things about the event, but, like, as an organizer, I'm curious, like, what your stand was in terms of what went well and, you know, what was really hard.
For sure. We're going to go shway full circle right here, 360 degrees, and tie back into Greece.
Well, maybe we should go back. Well, what is the word shway?
You used now it we're doing times. A 720. I don't even know what type of angle we're doing now.
Wait, hold on, because you literally have the number one Urban Dictionary definition for the word shway. So
which is true.
Please define it for us and our listeners.
Okay, shway is objectively, sublimely, awesomely shway, lava, hot, fire, cool. Like, just the coolest fucking thing of all time, objectively. We don't know if anything has ever been shway, because it takes multiple people agreeing at the same time without influencing each other's opinions to just think that something might be shway. Like, if I say, oh, that's so shway, and then Davis is like, that's so shway, you don't know if he's fitting in with my opinion or if I influenced him, so it's hard to be objectively shway. And you can say, like, that's shway, but that doesn't make it shway. Shway is an ideal.
All right.
Like, Beauty in the Backyard is going to be shway. Hot. Lava, volcano, sun's nuclear inner fusion fire. Like, more Fahrenheit than we have numbers. Shway lava fire.
We appreciate that. But yeah, going back to the original question, which was, what troubles as an organizer, like, really affected you or, you know, what was difficult?
Well, first of all, it takes a lot of sacrifice to do this, and it's constant stress. So you have to be crazy to do it to begin with. It's not like, why did you stop? It's like, why did you start?
True. Mm-hmm. We get that.
Need I continue?
Well, why did you start? What was the beginning?
The beginning, I wanted to have a week-long party on this street called Progress Street. And we did it. And I got Jordan Hole from Nashville. And Sovereign Goblin, Night Idea, Houdan the Mystic, Fight Cloud. Yeah, those were amazing times. Atoka Chase played, and then a bunch of other local bands from Blacksburg. There were like 25 or 30 bands, and it was like a house show that lasted 3 days. But Jordan Hole came from Nashville, and that meant a lot, and it inspired me and other people. So we did it again, and then the next time it got busted, and there's an iconic photo, I should add, where I think it was Night Idea. They were playing a set, and there's just a finger and a hand, and it's pointing to the speakers. And it was a person coming down and being like, shut it off, the cops are here. And there's just this guy, this police officer, just walking around, just busting the party. And no one ever figured out why. It was just, we were having too good of a time. It was, in college, you can get 500 people to go anywhere. It was $5 all you can drink, and 500 people were there at like 11 p.m. It was like people were everywhere. Anyway, so Progress Festival, the festival started because I realized that I had to move outside of Blacksburg, and it was really difficult to find a space to throw it. And I cycled through a bunch. We went through a bunch of different options, and I had to keep constantly reminding myself, solution, solution, solution. There's plenty of solutions. But as with all problems with the festival, man, sometimes the problems can feel overwhelming. So anyway, ended up just being a three-day music and arts event, like camping. I had never even been to a festival before. Wow. I didn't know how much to pay for anything. I didn't know what bands to get. We ended up getting Ron Gallo, which is so funny. Epic, dude. This band, The Lawsuits from Philly, MH and his orchestra, and I don't know, a bunch of other very shway artists.
So, like, what kind of music do you usually book? And then you're also a musician, too. So what kind of music, in addition to that, what kind of music do you usually play yourself?
I book a lot of nice people, like grounded, down-to-earth people that are kind of serious about what they do. And that's my only, I mean, real, you know, like, I don't want anyone to get up on stage, but they don't practice.
So, like, you have a respect for the craft, and you want to bring people on that have good values and also respect the music, and either, like, don't just play covers. Like, have you ever... You know,
yeah, I don't book cover bands.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I was saying.
That's another thing. I book bands with emotion. I book bands that really make you feel something, the ups and downs. I mean, I'm not trying to hate on jam band music, but it seems like jam band music is all up. It's all just we're having a good time, we're dancing, whatever. I like music that's ups and downs because that's how I feel every day.
Wow. Yeah, it's real. It's real, and I feel that, especially at music festivals today. It's like... people have such short attention spans, so the band, like, they want the music to just captivate and make them feel happy right away, and it's just like too much of happiness over and over. It's like, it's kind of exhausting. So I feel you on that. But, like, let's talk a little bit more about what, you know, you mentioned, other than the fact that there was less amenities, like, in Blacksburg, dealing with the type of people you're dealing with, like, what other troubles, what major problems or setbacks did you experience, and how can we learn from them?
The biggest one was rain.
Yeah.
To be honest. I don't know. We had a couple incidents around the music festival that were kind of bummers. I think the struggles that I was experiencing were, like, relationships with landowners and, well, in addition to natural disasters. It rained, like, 6 inches last year I did it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was insane. And there's only so much you can do. But anyway, yeah, just getting along with people, having a business arrangement for an extended period of time where no one's really making a lot of money, no one's living off this, that's the trickiest thing. Keeping people interested on the team. People move away. When I first started, we were in college, and that's the time where people have extra time. Maybe their parents are paying for rent, they're paying for their bills, stuff like that. Around that area, people moved away. So suddenly I found myself with, you know, three partners, then two partners, then one, and then it was just like, all right, I'm going to Greece, which is where we're going full circle. Why not work on yourself?
Well, how did you keep people motivated, you know, year after year? What were some of the strategies?
Awesome video, awesome promo video with a really exciting first 10 seconds for people with short attention spans on Facebook, that they could see fire spinning, a helicopter that we got every year. Some of the art installations. We have a... I don't want to describe them, but they're one of a kind. We had some really awesome art installations.
Did Leonardo da Vinci really create helicopters?
Yeah, I think he based it off the things that fall off trees and they spin around. What are those called?
Birds. Oh, no, the
seeds. Chickens.
The helicopter pedal thing.
Yeah, helicopter pedals.
They're called, like, helicopters.
They
I'm
might be.
Pretty sure.
I'm pretty
they're
sure.
They're from maple trees.
They're from the scientific group.
Don't they come from maple trees? No, I might be wrong. So you went to Greece to kind of, like, discover yourself and feel, like, what makes you feel like your best self?
Wow. What makes you feel like... artistic expression, healing through artistic expression, I think. Also that feeling that you get when people come together. Yeah. There's a moment that you can live for in the music festival, and that's when you yourself, the proprietor or the person that booked the show or the person that's been there for 10 years, 5 years, whatever, you see everyone come together and they don't really know each other, but you know them and you want them to make those connections, and they do. And there wasn't a year that I didn't cry, I think, either from happiness or sadness.
Wow, very emotional.
But I mean, there was one year where my friend was in Washington and she told this guy named Jonah Tolkien. No, not even Jonah Tolkien, his friend Mike. She met him and she was like, yeah, we have this cool festival, you know, you guys should come, in Washington State. And then she was like, can you add them last minute? Him, and then also his friend Jonah Tolkien, who now has like 250,000 monthly listeners or something, 200,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. And anyway, so this guy came from Washington. He brought his friend Jonah Tolkien, and they played this set. And I looked over at my friend who brought them there, and I looked at them on stage, and Jonah's just like wailing the blues on stage.
Damn.
And like it's like pouring down rain, of course. And I look over at my friend, I look at him, and I look at all these other people having like an amazing, like emotional time, like an emotional experience meeting this guy. Just like, holy shit. These people are all meeting right now because we just had this vision, and this dude came from Washington. What? But it's even more than that, because then you meet those people and you have all these experiences with them every year or in between. Like, I book a lot of my friends from Richmond and DC and whatnot. We have a lot of really meaningful experiences together, and then you see all these people come together. It's just like overwhelming. It's like a wedding. It's like everyone you love in one place plus that. Yeah.
Well, we were talking this morning and we were saying, you know, no one ever does this job for the money, really.
Yeah.
When we were talking with Rick, and you know, what are you doing now? And like, even, you know, even though Progress Fest didn't pan out or is not going now, is on a hiatus, right? Still might come back.
Yeah.
How do you think you can support yourself in the future?
Well, I'm just doing random odd jobs like the rest of the millennials.
Do you feel like you're so like in a hamster wheel almost?
Yeah. Running in place. Out?
Yeah, running in place.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I just set goals for myself. I'm focused way more about myself, honestly, which is good and healthy sometimes. Like I said, I couldn't live in this world of stress for 6 months, risking tens of thousands of dollars and barely making anything in return. And I mean, there's beautiful moments, but then after those moments, you're just like, ooh, you look at your bank account. Yeah. So focusing on yourself is okay sometimes. I'm working on recording my own album finally. I really don't have a representation of the way I want to play those songs. Yeah.
I'm excited, and I think that moments like these help us learn the most about ourselves. Like, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and they were explaining how, why do I have to feel stuck? Why do I have to be in this place right now that I'm not enjoying? And the only answer that I could respond with was, this experience is happening to you so that you can understand the different new experiences that are coming. Because if you were just blessed with that abundance and that prosperity and all of the happiness and love and everything that goes along with it, some people, if you just get it and you just automatically have it, they don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
And like, so you have people. To know. Yeah. You have like to all know. People. You have to know the pain. You have to experience suffering. You have to have nothing to appreciate something. And I think that's super valuable. I mean, from my own personal experience right now, like, I'm in debt, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for school, and I'm paying for it myself. So I feel trapped. I feel like I'm in the rat race too.
Yeah.
We're all in it. However, we're figuring out creative and innovative ways to break out of it while also still existing in this society. So I feel for you and all of the other millennials that you're talking about.
Millennials.
Seriously. But, you know, you talked about some really cool bands that, at Progress Fest, and it's amazing to hear about magical experiences like that. And I think that you just took on way too much work by yourself. Like, you, we know that you're capable of doing everything, and you could, and it would just take a really long time. But, like, you got to give it up a little bit to some other people, you know? And I think that burden really crushed you.
I got to say, in the beginning, there were a lot of people that were involved. And we had a lot of really awesome connections, but that was college. And I swear, after college, you lose contact with those, like, nodes of social groups that you had.
Yep.
And people start needing money. It's just reality. A lot of people were down to volunteer in the beginning. And then I wanted to pay them because I felt so bad for myself. It's like everyone needs to be supported by this thing, but we can't be. And so it's really hard to motivate people to do things without any sort of compensation. Or, I mean, they have to do their full-time job, and it ended up being that I could do things way quicker than teaching someone that might just leave in the next year.
I
had strategies to engage people in the community too. Like, we'd have gigantic Progress Fest potlucks.
Our next guest has arrived. But okay, by the way, if it wasn't clear already, John is booking bands for Beauty in the Backyard 2019, and we want to know what kind of bands you're most excited about for this year.
Ooh. All right, I got to say, Shway You Bred Raptors. Shway You Bred Raptors. That I've worked with Adult Swim are the greatest band in the world. No one else wants you to say it. No one else can hear it. It's only you and me in this podcast. The greatest. And then I also really like Strange Attractor.
Yes, Baltimore local homies.
Yeah, dude, Baltimore DIY all the way.
Fox Shway is also avocados. On the first podcast, Fox Zen Zenzaria.
Sick.
Yeah. And
Harry Shway.
Yeah, and they're on the first podcast if you want to hear it. Anyway, continue, please.
I mean, I'm really just like, You Bred Raptors are my friends. Up Tomorrow are my friends. I love them. They put on an amazing show. Jeff is a very sensual gentleman. I would like to give him a back rub. I like the way that his nose is shaped naturally.
Of Tomorrow.
Unlike Jennifer Aniston, who has had several nose jobs confirmed. Spends a lot of money on her nose. Jeff actually has a very nice, natural nose.
And Of Tomorrow is also on our podcast, too. Just shameless plug.
There's not a lot of stuff in there to take out. There's just stuff that goes in that nose. Like, the boogers go the opposite direction type thing. He's got a nice nose. He's born with it.
What other bands are you excited for?
Shway Joe Keys.
Or should I say things in general? Like, you know, we're all fired up. We're all really excited. It's clear.
You should say that.
What
Shway
are you
Tweed.
Most excited about?
I am most excited for Jeff's nose, which is just shaped brilliantly. I mean, it's really hard to use words. I mean, Shway was kind of invented to describe that type of feature that you only would find on Jeff's face.
What's one thing people don't know about you?
Well, I think the one thing that people haven't really understood about me is my fascination with Jeff's nose. I mean, I don't talk about it very often. I do get emotional when I do start talking about it. I mean, it's like an angel.
If you weren't in the music industry, what would you want to be doing with your life?
I think I would like to be studying.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I think I'd like to be. All right. I won't say it, but we're all thinking it. It's a certain facial feature of a certain friend of mine.
Hey, John, I have a question for you.
All right.
What do you wish you had known before you started organizing Progress Fest?
Okay, how much to pay for things, how to not be taken advantage of by assholes, and ask if the farm has cell phone service, get someone to do live updates somehow during the event.
Live updates to...
Live
updates to who? To the outsiders?
Yeah, or? Yeah. So people don't just disappear into a void. And then people are like, should I go or not? And they don't see anything. And just like, yes, you should come. They're having such a good time.
True. Last year, because the service isn't that great. But they have Wi-Fi now, which is, you know, I have mixed feelings about it. I just got back from Burning Man, and I'm like, 12 days without my phone was a blessing. I'm like, everybody knows about Burning Man. I don't have to look at my phone. Yeah. I can just let go, and man, that felt so good.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is true. Last year, we weren't able to get those posts out on like Friday, you know, or Thursday, Friday, and so people that might look it up, they're on the fence about whether they should come, and they don't really see anything happening, but it's actually happening.
Yeah. The first year I was put in a really difficult bind. I was mentioning earlier that I looked at several spaces to have Progress Fest. Well, it actually turned out that I booked the entire festival for 3 days, had all these outrageous guarantees. I had these numbers in my head of the tickets I was going to sell, which we almost did it, but not quite. But I got taken advantage of out the ass. The first property, it was completely their fault, but I trusted them that I was going to have it there. And then it ended up that there was only a month before the festival. I had to find a new place to throw it. And the people that I found, unfortunately, took advantage of me, like, big time. And, like, they charged me $750 for a trash removal fee when we removed all of the trash. And then I found out that the festival before us never picked up any of their trash. And they were just trying to get me to pay the trash bill for the previous festival.
Mm.
And I was just this naive business student in college that thought I knew something about business and like how, you know, how to succeed like with a small business. And I was just like an idiot. And I mean, I didn't know how much to pay for anything. Mm. So, yeah. So I would say for advice for people is just like, man, hang out with the people you're working with or you're planning on working with before starting the event.
Relationships.
Look at their work ethic. Look at how they treat other people. Ask other people who have dealt with them, you know, how that experience went. A lot of times people won't say anything because they're not trying to be assholes online. They're not trying to like stir the pot. But they'll have a really negative experience with contractors and they won't say anything about it. So it's good to get an idea of who you're working with, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, in a world full of people, I mean, all businesses run by people. We believe in that strongly, that when we make relationships with people, we want them to be long-term relationships. So we do spend time thinking about who we're investing in. I shouldn't say we spend time. We invest our time in our people, basically, you know? So, John, or Mr. Father of Time, what, if anything, should we have asked you that we didn't? Is there anything that we should have asked you? Like, do you feel like there's any major pieces of information missing from this story?
I think we really did a good job of summing a lot of it up. You should ask me about the art installations.
Tell us about the art installations. Because
I just skipped over them earlier.
Please, please.
Okay, one of them is a hula hoop that spins on top of a motor, and it projects a 3D image with a 2D image on the hula hoop with 144 LED lights. And you adjust the motor, and you can make it go fast or slow. You can play like weird-ass videos with it. It just spins around really fast, and it loads this like dot map that you can make in Photoshop. What? And it creates crazy patterns. It's called the Stargate Egg Beater. there's also the spark machine. It's just like a gigantic wheel that spits sparks hundreds of feet in the air in the sky. It's insane. There's the tomato cannon.
I have to ask about the tomato cannon.
Yeah. At one of my festivals, we designed a 100 PSI tomato cannon and fired a bunch of Rotten Tomatoes at one of the bands. And they pretty much just blew up in the air and sprinkled down rotten mold.
Oh my
God. On the band.
I think this is the Tomato Dodgers, yeah, right?
Who we booked last year. Who proceeded to run up on stage and then play their set. Yeah, that was a good installation. We had a bike that powered speakers one year. We had a helicopter every year. And we had a forest maze that was so complex with Christmas lights. I'm not making this up. It was so complex that, like, I don't think that anyone that attended the festival actually completed it. And it was impressively put together by my friend Julia, which we should probably get her to come to Beauty in the Backyard and create the fucking shway-ass maze of Christmas lights.
So why do festival organizers or event organizers always want to, like, bring all these, like, different art installations? Like, what it is about, like, you know?
It's a cool experience, right? Seeing something new. It's not worth bringing those things out and showing like two people.
Right.
It's cool having a unique experience.
That's what it's all about. Exactly.
We also had a Russian bathhouse with like 40 naked people jumping up and down in it all night. Like, we had a wood stove that we poured water on and it just created like this wet sauna.
Nice.
And so we would just be jumping up and down, fist bumping.
It's sustainable. You're saving water. You're bathing together. It's, you know? So, John, what are you curious about right now?
I'm looking at those ducks, and I want to know the story behind those ducks over there.
Tell us something that's true, that almost nobody agrees with you on.
Fluoride's fucking poisonous. It's literally toxic to your thyroid and body. It has no known purpose. All the science is bullshit. It's like fake epidemiology from 1920. Every other fucking country in the world, there's like four countries that are like, yeah, we should do this. Every other country in the world's like, no, it's toxic. That makes no fucking sense. There's no science to support that. Why would we spend money on that? It's literally ridiculous. And then you try to have conversations with people and it's like a Republican liberal thing. It's like you can't have a conversation with someone because they've already made up their mind. They already think you're crazy just because you say something. You know what I mean? But they've never read about it. They've never read a book. They've never read a scientific paper. They don't understand what thyroids are. They don't know what fluoride is. They don't know any of these things.
Well, we try to keep politics out of this podcast.
That's what I'm saying.
But you should lead a workshop, you know? What kind of workshop would you want to lead?
Fluoride's poison.
So, John, this has been a great conversation. I'm sure we could go all night. How can people connect with you if they want to reach out?
Progressfestival.com.
Yeah. Ow, ow! Okay, so it's still alive. That means, yeah. Oh, and we have a Trail to the Beauty in the Backyard event at The Void in D.C.
Yes.
This Friday.
Fuck.
And that's
yes.
Those are your homies. Those are your.
Yeah, The Void's homies. Sick. They've been a DIY venue for at least a decade. Nas so, headlining that show. They're fucking awesome. Telescopes coming down from Philly. Indie rock band.
Yeah, we should add Progress Fest on the Facebook event so it'll pop up on your thing.
Yeah.
But The Void, it's in France, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys got to fly to France.
I'm just kidding. It's in D.C. Yeah. Check it out on Facebook.
Hyattsville.
Oh, Maryland. It's in Hyattsville. I'm sorry. It's in Hyattsville. Correction.
Yeah. But near, it's close
near College Park.
And then, dude, Shway Avocados Anonymous is playing.
Yes.
And Beauty in the Backyard is going to plan something special. And we're going to have discounted tickets.
So how do people find out where the address to Progress Fest is?
Fucking sorry, message us. The now. Void. Message me, please. If you're a person listening to this and you message me, it'll make my dreams come true.
Facebook, what's your name?
I'm John Clockwood on Facebook.
John Clockwood, there it is.
The father of time.
And as always, to check out what's going on our website, you can go to metacreative.world. That's M-E-T-T-A creative.world. If you just want to check out Beauty in the Backyard, the retreat that we've been talking about this entire time, go to thebackyard.world. We've got a lot of stuff happening. We've been working all year on this event. I mean, workshops, games, demos. We're doing blockchain, organic gardening. We're doing Reiki and Tantra and dance classes and handstand workshops. It's not just a music festival. We spend a lot of energy on programming and how people are connecting and making those genuine friendships. So go to the website, check it out, watch the video, tell your friends, go to Facebook, see how many of your friends are actually already coming. It's going to be a good time. And yeah, that's it for us. This has been another episode of the MetaMakers podcast.
It's been pretty schwa.
Collaborative arts.
Inspiring sustainability.
Thanks for listening.